Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, a manhunt is underway for the killer of the conservative activist and influential Trump ally Charlie Kirk, who died after being shot at a university in Utah. Officials say a single shot fired by a lone perpetrator killed him. The bullet hit the 31-year-old in the neck. An eyewitness describes what she saw. Just a note that some listeners might find this distressing.
I was watching from pretty close up and I heard a pop and I thought, no, that nobody's shooting firecrackers, right? This is the middle of the day. And then I watched a fountain of blood come out of the side of his neck like a water fountain. And it was surreal. Everyone dropped and I was like, where's the gunman? I don't see any gunman. And then I dropped.
Another witness who was sitting close to Charlie Kirk when it all happened describes the scene.
So I was probably about 40 to 50 feet away from where he was sitting. So, I mean, initially I was sitting there filming him. I cut my video and just then I heard this shot. And initially, you know, you don't really realize what's happening until it's happened. And, you know, Charlie falls off his stool. Everyone kind of starts panicking and running in different directions. My instinct was hit the deck. And like I said, there was kind of a cement terrace system. And so I hid behind one of these cement terraces. And then after kind of maybe about 30 seconds to a minute after not hearing another gunshot, I got up and just booked it towards one of the closest building I could see. It was just uncertain. You know, you don't know whether outside's safe or whether inside's safe. You don't know if there's a shooter looking for more victims. And I mean, there's people hiding in every corner and in every elevator shaft. I mean, it's just really, really a terrifying moment.
Well, Charlie Kirk was rushed to hospital after that shooting and President Trump confirmed his death hours later. The US president released a video message shortly afterwards.
This is a dark moment for America. Violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom you disagree day after day, year after year, in the most hateful and despicable way possible.
Well, I'm joined now by David Blevins, Sky News correspondent in Washington, D.C. Thank you for joining us on the programme.
I'm very happy to be with you, despite the fact we're talking about another very grim day in America, Claire.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, let's talk about what happened, the lead up to these shocking events that we have seen playing out on our screens in the last number of hours. What happened?
Charlie Kirk was on the first stop of what he called the American comeback tour when he was fatally wounded at Utah Valley University. He was addressing a crowd of around 2,000 to 3,000 people when a single shot rang out and it claimed his life. Local law enforcement believe that shot was fired from a rooftop by a person wearing dark clothing, and it sparked absolute pandemonium, as you would expect, among those who were in attendance. And while they were fleeing the scene, a body was removed from the scene, and it was President Trump himself who later confirmed that the very well-known conservative influencer Charlie Kirk had lost his life.
There were thousands at that Charlie Kirk event at the university, weren't there?
Thousands, because of the influence, I suppose, he has on US politics, because Charlie Kirk was the person who founded and had become president of the fastest growing conservative youth activist movement in America. He may no longer be with us, but his influence lives on because he had 20 million followers online on the various platforms. He'd authored a number of books, one of them simply entitled The MAGA Doctrine. That's the Make America Great Again Doctrine. He was the presenter of a daily podcast and radio program. And of course, a very high profile champion of Donald Trump throughout his campaign. Just days after Donald Trump survived an assassination attempt, Charlie Kirk was on a platform describing him as the bodyguard of Western civilization and encouraging people to vote for him in busloads.
And we know he was very close to the Trump family. In fact, they credit him with bringing the youth vote to the campaign in 2024, don't they?
Yes, they absolutely do, because of this legion of followers, because Charlie Kirk really drew particularly conservative young men to him by adopting this style of encouraging debate. He didn't just spit out what some people might describe as rhetoric. He encouraged people to come with tough questions and to engage him in debate. Written on the roof of the tent where he was speaking when the shots were fired last night were the words, "Prove me wrong." Because he used to encourage people to put questions to him, to put their point of view, and he would actually engage with them. And that really seemed to attract the attention of some young people. And ironically, last night, he had just finished answering a question about gun violence in America when he became the latest victim of it himself.
Well, we can hear him talking on another occasion about guns. We know he was a vocal supporter of gun rights. Here's a clip of him talking about just that.
You need to be very clear that you're not going to get gun deaths to zero. It will not happen.
Right.
You can significantly reduce them through having more fathers in the home,
yes,
by having more armed guards in front of schools.
Yes. Yes.
We should have an honest and clear reductionist view of gun violence, but we should not have a utopian one. You will never live in a society when you have an armed citizenry and you won't have a single gun death. That is nonsense. It's drivel.
Wow.
But I think it's worth it. I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That is a prudent deal. It is rational.
And that is Charlie Kirk speaking on a previous occasion about gun control. Just going back to the event itself, his wife and his young children, I understand they were there, David, is that right?
Yes, that has just emerged in the last few hours that they were in attendance at the event, which is just incomprehensible, really, that they may have witnessed the shooting take place. He was just 31 years of age, married with two young children aged 3 and 1. And as you say, Claire, very close in terms of his relationship to the current administration in the White House. Donald Trump described him as a legendary figure. He was a good friend of Donald Trump Jr. They often took to the platform together at his events. He was a very good friend of the US Vice President J.D. Vance. That's why I feel it's virtually impossible to overstate the significance of his influence on this generation, particularly of conservative young people. His movement, Turning Point, went into high schools and to colleges across the United States to promote conservatism and Christianity. And that's exactly what he was in the process of doing when the shots were fired, which claimed his life.
And it's difficult today, isn't it, to predict what the response will be, what the impact of the death of Charlie Kirk will be, but undoubtedly it will be significant.
It feels like it should be a tipping point for the United States. But how many times have we been here before, Claire? Earlier this year, I was in Minnesota reporting the murders of a state senator and her husband in an act of political violence. A couple of weeks ago, I was reporting the latest school shooting when two primary school-aged children lost their lives while attending morning mass at a school also in Minnesota. And every time we think, will this be the thing that causes America to do the soul searching about politics and about guns? You heard Charlie Kirk in that clip talk about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. We hear a lot of people also talking about the First Amendment, the right to freedom of speech. But so often there is so much debate about those things, it overshadows the ultimate right, which is the right to life, of course. So America is asking familiar questions right now about politics, about guns, about how deeply polarized it is and the dangers of that. But also right now, America has no answers.
All right, David Blevins, Sky News correspondent in Washington, D.C., thank you for joining us. Now let's turn to the search for Charlie Kirk's killer and to Sarah Firth, foreign correspondent based in Washington. Sarah, thank you for being with us this morning. Now we understand two people were arrested and released without charge. So what's the latest you can tell us?
Yes, yeah, so the FBI are leading the investigation along with the Utah Department of Public Safety. this manhunt underway this morning. You did have, in the initial aftermath of the attack, the university, first of all, putting out a statement saying that a suspect had been taken into custody. You then had the FBI director echoing that information. We did later learn that they, both those suspects that had been taken into custody, were released with no ties to the attack. No further details this morning so far. So we don't know from officials yet the identity of the suspect or the possible motive. We just know that this is an ongoing police search, a widespread manhunt. The FBI saying that they are putting their full resources devoted to this investigation. And Claire, they're calling for members of the public, anyone who was there at that event, to share on an upload link videos, photos. They'll be combing through that information as part of the investigation to try and track down the suspected shooter.
Okay, just on the motive, we can listen to Phil Lyman now, a former Republican state representative in Utah. He had been handing out baseball caps with Charlie Kirk just before that shooting happened. And he gave his view on the shooter and on the motive. Let's have a listen.
I mean, observation that I have, number one on this, is that it was a professional job. I don't feel like this is a person who lost an argument with Charlie Kirk and said, I'm going to go and shoot him from the top of a roof from 200 yards away with a perfect kill shot to the neck. It's a little too professional. The fact that the person escaped tells me that he's got some expertise in that.
Is that likely to be a line of investigation that will be followed here, Sarah, that this was a professional sniper hit?
Yes, the FBI are going to be following all and any leads at the moment. And actually, Claire, that sentiment we've seen echoed by the Utah governor. He outright called this a political assassination. And we've seen those condemnations. They came in fast. They're very raw. They're very emotional. And they were across the board. So Republicans and Democrats. And of course, the president himself, who knew Charlie Kirk, for him, for the president, this is personal. Charlie Kirk knew members of his family. Here in Washington, D.C., at the White House, the flags are at half-mast. You've got many members of the Trump administration who knew Charlie Kirk, were friends with Charlie Kirk. So this has really sent shockwaves throughout the Capitol. You know, in the initial hours after the information started coming in, you could visibly see in the Capitol, on lawmakers' faces, as we were trying to question people on Capitol Hill, you could visibly see the shock. And that echoed in the words that we've seen, you know, President Trump talking about being filled with grief and anger, and also vowing to find everyone involved and crack down on political violence, though it's unclear exactly what actions that will entail from the president. But the FBI, absolutely, they're going to be following every possible lead right now to try and track down who was behind this.
Sarah, thank you very much for joining us from Washington. Jennifer Ewing is on the line from Republicans Overseas. Jennifer, thank you for joining us on the programme. What's your own reaction to the assassination of Charlie Kirk overnight?
I mean, I think, like a lot of your other speakers have said, I mean, shock is the first thing that comes to mind. It all just happened so incredibly fast. And obviously deep sadness. You know, he was a father and a husband, a brother, a son, a friend, all of those things. The other thing that really struck me is just the irony of, you know, how he was assassinated. It was doing what we all should be doing, which is engaging in polite civil discourse. And while he certainly had his own views, you know, he was a conservative, he was a Christian. When he would go out to a lot of these college campuses, he was famous for saying out into the crowd, which was, you know, sometimes friendly, sometimes hostile, he would say, if you disagree, please come to the front. And that meant he wanted to hear people that, you know, were often, again, very progressive and had opposite views of him. And then they would engage in, you know, often very fiery debate, but it was out in the open. And he was always curious to learn what people who disagreed with him thought. And again, I think in a world where we're, you know, sort of shutting down speech and, you know, putting lines up for what people can say and what's accepted and what's not, I think I hope that what can be learned from Charlie's life and death is that this is the way forward. If you don't agree with mm-hmm. someone, ask questions, be curious, try to learn.
And I suppose now, Jennifer, you know, everyone's thoughts turn to what is going to happen next. And if you look at what Donald Trump said in the immediate aftermath, pointing to the left-wing rhetoric for being directly responsible, he said, for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today. And you'll know, I mean, we don't know who did this or why they did this. Do you think that now is not the time for the blame game, that rather it will be more responsible to send out a message of political unity?
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely do. And, you know, you can take incidents that have happened recently and it might look like progressive leftists have done this. And then I'm sure you can find incidents where people who are further on the right have done things. So there's two paths here. Either we, you know, people go on their side and, you know, get in the bunkers and start fighting. I don't think that's a very helpful way to progress. Or people say, just as Charlie did, let's learn from him and let's, you know, we're not all going to get along. You know, mm-hmm. in many countries, we do live in a 50-50 sort of polar world. So no, that is not the way forward. Even in the Republican Party, I'll tell you, and I'm sure you pay close attention to this, Claire, in the lead up to the election, you know, there's lots of different voices and arguments going on within the Republican Party. Those who want to stop these forever wars, those who feel strongly about one thing or another, more social issues. Or mm-hmm. So Charlie was part of that. I think that's a good thing.
Because
more discussion, more debate.
He would have had enemies on the very far right as well. Am I correct in saying that? He was a conservative right-wing person and proponent and supporter, but there were people further right of him who were critical of how far he would go.
Yeah, you're right. There's always going to be somebody that's, you know, further left or further right than somebody else. But as, you know, I believe it was your Sky correspondent mentioned earlier, you know, he was very much responsible, his movement, for galvanizing the 18 to 29 year olds in this country. And we are, America, you know, we are a conservative, probably center right country. So it's not that he was far right at all. I mm-hmm. think he spoke for a lot of people, certainly not everybody. But yeah.
Well, it's America is a country divided. You know, we know that, and divided on the issue of gun control. And David Blevins raised that again. You know, this will once again open up the debate around the gun culture in the United States. I mean, I believe the University of Utah allows open carrying of weapons. Do you think that that is going to be scrutinized here, and that the wider question will be up for debate again around access to weapons?
No, I do not. And even Charlie, as you played in one of your clips earlier, was a huge proponent of the Second Amendment. A gun, you know, was the weapon that killed Charlie, but it was, we believe, you know, political violence that killed him. It could have been something else just as easily. I don't believe Americans will ever give up their Second Amendment. What might change, however, and this would be quite sad, would be these outdoor events. You know, a lot of the rallies, we saw President Trump famously, you know, two assassination attempts on him at outdoor rallies. Again, Charlie was obviously assassinated mm-hmm. yesterday outdoors. So that would be a shame.
But the reason these things happen is because people can go into a gun shop, a supermarket for guns, and buy these high powered precision weapons.
Well, no, that's not the reason these things happen. I mean, when I grew up, there was just as many guns out there, and we did not have school shootings. So that's another topic people are looking into. Why are there all of a sudden, you know, starting in the 90s, these school shootings? So, you know, yes, a gun was used, and should people be able to carry these military rifles around in the open? I mean, we'll see what gun was used. We don't know that yet because we don't know who killed him. But you're not going to open up a real debate. You might get some headlines around, oh, let's look at gun control again, but that's not the issue here. That would be avoiding the subject, which is political violence and
except we don't know
somebody being disagrees with them.
It could have been a personal grudge. I mean, we simply don't know, Jennifer, and that's clear here, that we don't have a suspect, we don't have a motive, we don't know why this happened.
You're right, but it would be a pretty big coincidence if Charlie Kirk, who's part of, you know, probably the largest political most important, impactful political movement in my generation, who often talks about free speech and different topics, was just accidentally gunned down with precision because of a personal grudge. You know, okay. That personal grudge was probably political.
Okay, well, look, it remains to be seen. We'll have more reaction and news on this later on in the programme. But for now, Jennifer Ewing from Republicans Overseas, thank you for joining us. Coming up, an Irish grandmother in solitary confinement and facing deportation from the United States. We'll speak to her husband next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.